the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Yes, may the Lord's peace be with you. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host today is MJ Crowder, and MJ, as people hear the introductions here, they're going to think, oh, I heard this one before.
No, you didn't. No, you just think you did. But let me tell you, every week of Lent, and we're barreling towards Easter, we have a different theme, well, the theme is the same, Lent, and how to make our Lent a little bit better, a little bit deeper. But we do have a returning guest, and I'm just going to tell you right now, Father Brian Eyman, St. Athanasius, Eric Slaughter, is the chairman of Abba Father, Chapter of Catholics United for Faith. Welcome, welcome, welcome. They were here a couple weeks ago, but we knew about halfway into our last chat that we had Father Brian stay over and have him back for another segment because there was way too much here, way too much.
We were talking about Lent and the various things that they do, and kind of a non-Catholic question just kind of popped into my head of that I was going to ask last program and didn't. You know, like, what's the difference between a Lenten resolution and a New Year's resolution?
That's a great question.
Everybody makes New Year's resolutions, and some people make Lenten resolutions.
And about this time during Lent or during New Year's, it would be...
Yeah, the New Year's ones are long forgotten.
Yeah, and I wonder how many of us... I mean, this has been tough, but here we are. We're solidly halfway, a little bit past the midway point of Lent, and I wonder how many of us are steadfast to our Lenten resolution. So good question, Father. What's the diff?
Well, first of all, in the Byzantine Catholic Church, our traditional fast is much stricter than in the Western fast, and so we typically do not have meat or dairy products. The emphasis in our church is on metanoia, or on repentance, and so the whole Lenten season for us is about repentance. And one of the things that you might find interesting is that Lent for us stops this Friday.
Oh,
on April,
so a little bit
11th.
Early.
Well, because Holy Week for us, or as we call it, Great and Holy Week, is a completely separate fast. So our 40 days is up this Friday. And then Lazarus Saturday and Palm Sunday are days that are not counted. And in our church, they are festal days. And then we start back into Great and Holy Week, which is a completely new, very serious period of Lent, or Lenten or fasting season.
Now, you said a different or more serious fast. Besides giving up, you mentioned, and I'll just tell you this, listeners, please go back to our website and access the previous interview because we kind of laid the foundation there. Lots of good stuff. But so what is different? Okay, I'll refer to it as our Holy Week. So what's different? You said a more serious fast. Is there something that you give up more than dairy and meat?
Well, the people who have not kept the full fast previously, they're encouraged to follow more completely the fast during Great and Holy Week. There are an even greater abundance of divine services that are conducted. So like in the morning, there would be bridegroom matins. And then every evening, traditionally, there is the liturgy of the pre-sanctified gifts. Wednesday evening, traditionally, we would have the service, Mystery of Holy Anointing, which is in the West the anointing of the sick. In the Byzantine Church, we anoint everyone, spiritually ill, physically ill. It doesn't matter to us.
Does this have the same impact or the same, I guess, in the... So when I would go to get an anointing, for instance, if I'm having a biopsy and I said to our parish priest that I would like to have an anointing, it not only is a healing, but it also is a remission of sins.
Yes.
Is that, and it's the same?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. It is the exact same mystery or sacrament that I celebrate when I would go to the hospital or go to someone's home. Or if they're going in the hospital or something like that, we do the exact same thing.
Okay,
now would that be the same as the Roman Catholic sacrament? I mean, the same words, the same symbols, the same oil?
Well, we bless our own oil. The priest blesses the oil at the time of the mystery being celebrated. Traditionally, you would have seven priests. But of course, that is very difficult to come about, especially in Indianapolis. In Greater Cleveland, we actually do the entire ceremony with seven priests. And so that ceremony is over 2.5 hours long. So that's why I always would tell people, I'd say, it's obvious that our anointing service was not intended for you to wait until the last minute, because it takes 2 hours. And it was intended to be done at church. And so what we'll have on, what we would traditionally have on Wednesday evening is that an abbreviated Mystery of Holy Anointing, because there's only me, there's only one priest.
Sure. You know, you mentioned something during our last segment that we were kind of comparing and contrasting us giving up chocolate or TV or Facebook or something like that. And you said that you wouldn't ask one of your parishioners what they were giving up because the understanding is that there's quite a bit of mortification and sacrifice tied into your fasting. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's pretty serious. That's a big thing that everyone has expected. But beyond that, so let's say everyone in the parish is giving up meat and dairy products all the way through Lent. Let's just have that presumption. Is there something more that you do in your prayer life? Is there something to kind of help you through those difficult times? Because I know myself just going through Lent, halfway through Lent right now, I'm doing 3 or 4 things, and I need a little bit. I need meditation to kind of give me a little bit more substance to keep my promises.
Well, the Liturgy of the Presanctified Gifts, which is traditionally celebrated on Wednesday and Friday evenings, is our primary Lenten liturgy for the weekdays, and it is a Vesper service with the distribution of Holy Communion that had been consecrated the Sunday before, because we don't celebrate the Eucharistic liturgy during the weeks of the Great Fast. So we would... That's one of the things that we do. We encourage more prayer. We encourage coming to the church for public prayer more frequently. And probably the most important way that persons can participate in the Great Fast beyond the fasting itself is almsgiving. Throughout the fathers of the church, particularly the Greek fathers, the almsgiving as a part of Lenten preparation is almost as essential as the giving up of certain foods.
Okay, so explain to me what the difference is between giving $25 in my envelope every week or $50, whatever it is. How does that differ? What's the difference between that and almsgiving as you understand it during your Great Fast?
Well, I would say almsgiving during the Great Fast would be in particular directed towards caring for the poor.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So it'd be in addition to what you are doing to support the church, the tithe that you provide to support the church, almsgiving would be beyond that. So it could be either personal, individual assistance or contributions, or it can be via the church. You know, like our little church has, we have a food pantry.
A corporal work of mercy.
We would call it corporal work of mercy, yeah. But okay. It has a very strong emphasis in the Byzantine church.
Now you mentioned a number of different services. You didn't mention Stations of the Cross, which...
We don't have Stations of the Cross.
Interesting.
Yeah, Stations of the Cross is a medieval Franciscan devotion that was intended to replace going to the Holy Land.
Oh, and it's interesting because I think this bears repeating. If you didn't catch it, listeners, and if you're just now tuning in, our guest today, Father Brian Eyman from St. Athanasius, and Eric Slaughter, he's been quiet and patiently waiting, but we will chat on the second half. Our Lady of Częstochowa is a wonderful devotion. It's coming to Indianapolis, and Eric is the chairman of Abba Father, Chapter of Catholics United for Faith. But you mentioned, where was I going with this, Jim? What was I saying?
Oh, we're talking about you
mentioned,
Stations of the Cross.
Yeah, it was Stations of the Cross. You mentioned, but it bears repeating, in the first half and also a couple weeks ago, that you don't have daily Mass during Lent or the Great Fast.
Correct.
What is the reason for that?
In the Byzantine Catholic Church, we don't have the Eucharistic liturgy, the Divine Liturgy, during weekdays, because in our church, it is the Divine Liturgy is always the celebration of the resurrection, always the celebration of the resurrection. So it is viewed in and of itself as breaking any fast. And so since we wish to emphasize the fasting nature of this period, we do not celebrate the Eucharistic liturgy except on Saturday, when we have our All Souls Saturdays and we read the list of our departed, and then on Sunday itself.
Interesting. Well, that's a huge difference.
It's a huge difference.
Okay, yeah. So we still have a little bit of time. Father, I really want to get one more basic difference between going to St. Simon's and going to St. Athanasius. Not only that, what's the expectation of time, by the way? So an hour, hour and a half?
Typical Sunday liturgy outside of the Great Fast is at St. Athanasius about an hour and 15 to an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay.
During the Great Fast, since we use the Liturgy of St. Basil the Great rather than the Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom, an hour and a half is what you should expect to spend worshiping God.
Okay. And there's another big difference coming up. We'll address it after the break, but we do need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
This program is made possible by Peyton Manning Children's Hospital at St. Vincent, providing parents with answers to kids' health questions from a registered nurse 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 317-338-KIDS. More information is available at kidshealthline.com. And remember, for answers to kids' health questions 24 hours a day, it's 317-338-KIDS, a service of Peyton Manning Children's Hospital at St. Vincent.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Father Brian Eyman from St. Athanasius. It's the Byzantine Church here in town. Eric Slaughter, chairman of Abba Father, chapter of Catholics United for Faith, and instrumental in Our Lady of Częstochowa coming to Indianapolis, Indiana. Father, I wanted to ask you one more thing. If I were visiting, because I do think it's important to expose our children and our families to the richness of our Catholic faith, mm-hmm. and St. Athanasius is a gem right in the midst of downtown. I didn't ask you this, I normally do, but where the heck is Blaine Avenue? Where is St. Athanasius?
St. Athanasius is at 1117 South Blaine Avenue. And it is near the corner of Morris and Harding. So if you're coming on I-70, you get off at the Harding Street exit, and you make a couple of right-hand turns, and you're at St. Athanasius. You can see us from I-70.
One thing, MJ, you mentioned visitation and visiting the church. Is there a particular dress code that might be different? I'm thinking in particular of women head covers, things like that.
Women are welcome to wear head covers if they wish to do so. It's not required. Many of our women do, though. Usually just typically our folks dress up a little bit more than you would see at a typical Roman Catholic church, but there's no dress code other than it be modest.
Okay, so another big difference, I did have the opportunity, I actually, as a child, went to a Byzantine Eastern Rite church for a number of years, but a few years ago, we took a friend of ours who only went to a Byzantine church, and we had to do some hunting, and we found St. Athanasius. Mm-hmm. But there are several other differences. One is, to me, you do sing. It's in English now, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And communion is a little bit different, as well as your sacraments. So could you explain to our listeners that difference a little bit?
Well, in the Byzantine Catholic Church, we use leavened bread. And so, therefore, the leavened bread is consecrated, the artos, as we would call it. And actually, by the way, the Greek word in the Scripture for the Eucharistic bread throughout the New Testament is artos, which is leavened bread, not azyme, which is unleavened bread.
Okay.
But that's
right.
A controversy for another time. But we use leavened bread, and then the consecrated body of Christ is then commingled with the consecrated chalice, the consecrated blood of Christ. and is delivered to the people on a gold spoon or silver spoon, depending on which set I'm using. And it's placed directly into their open mouths, not on their tongues, and they're not to close their mouths on the spoon, but it's put into their mouths. The other thing that people will find is that little children go to communion
right.
all the way down to as soon as
infants, they're
baptized,
right.
they receive the mystery of chrismation or confirmation, and they receive their first Eucharist all at the same liturgy.
And that is about at what age?
At about 40 days after their birth.
Oh, so newborns.
Newborns, yes.
Okay, so a newborn is basically baptized, confirmed, first Holy Communion.
That is correct.
What about extraordinary ministers? You mentioned you distributing communion. Do you have extraordinary ministers?
Not really.
No,
we don't.
So you distribute communion.
I distribute communion to everyone. We have a subdeacon, ordained subdeacon for the parish, but he is currently at our seminary. So when he is home, he is able to assist me in distributing Holy Communion. But extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist in our church are truly extraordinary because it mainly means the priest is sick and can't really distribute Holy Communion, or you have a gigantic parish and only one priest.
Okay, one more little tidbit. You mentioned the sacraments that are received at 40 days. What about penance or confession? What age, since they are already receiving communion, when do they usually start going to confession? Because that would seem that would follow pretty quickly when they're 5, 6, 7 years old.
5, 6, or 7.
Okay.
I leave it up, you know, I would certainly say in a parish setting that we would have it set that by 7 they have already gone, made their first penance, or gone to the mystery of holy repentance, as we call it, the first time. But I'll hear a kid's confession as soon as a child can really realize that he or she has sinned.
Yeah, I love that.
So I've heard confessions of children as young as 3 years old. They may not have known all the lines, but they knew that they sinned and they needed to be forgiven so that they could receive Jesus. And I'll tell people who are going to say, well, they don't know what they're receiving. I says, my kids in my parish, by the time that they're 2 or 3 years old, know the difference between the Eucharist that they receive at Holy Communion and the bread that is given to everyone at the end of the liturgy, although it is from the exact same loaf.
Oh, sure.
They know that there's a difference.
How wonderful. Our guest today, Father Brian Eyman, St. Athanasius, Eric Slaughter.
Hello.
poor Eric has been so quiet
He's
over there.
He's been so quiet and so patient. And first of all, Our Lady of Częstochowa is coming to Indianapolis in a couple weeks. And Eric, I know you've been instrumental in bringing this about. And I want to know, how did this even start? How did it even come about that, one, Indianapolis is on the radar for this, but how was this her journey? How did it come about, and who put it together?
Well, the reason it's coming to Indianapolis is the former chairman of Abba Father Chapter, Patty Arthur, saw it, and she sent me an email and said, we need to do this. So I often listen to what Patty says. but originally, it started in 2012 by a group of Catholic and Orthodox faithful who wanted to start a worldwide campaign in support of life. And they put it underneath the patronage of Our Lady of Częstochowa, also known as the Black Madonna.
But did she have any... You mentioned that on the previous our previous show about life and promoting life and a culture of life. But is Our Lady of Częstochowa the icon? Which, by the way, how big is it? What are we talking about?
Well, I'm told that the original icon is not very big.
Okay, so a 3x5, a 2 feet by 2 feet,
possibly.
Okay, but has she ever been known for interceding in life issues? Why was Our Lady of Częstochowa?
There have been some miracles, but mainly. If you remember John Paul the Great,
yes,
John Paul II,
pretty soon to be saint. Yeah.
If you look at his readings and about Our Lady of Częstochowa, she had great meaning for John Paul II, and he was from Poland, as we all know. So I think that his message of life in the was very intricate to him. his connection with the Our Lady
during
Chistahova,
his papacy.
During his papacy.
Right. So he was known as the Pope who really emphasized life and the culture of life. He may have even invented that term. I mean, he was the one who I first heard saying that quite, you know, so much, the culture of life versus the culture of death. Okay, so because of that connection, Our Lady of Chistahova was chosen as kind of the symbol, I guess, or the patroness to start this voyage around the world?
I believe that's the case, yes.
Okay, and so this started 2 years ago?
In 2012, in Russia, was where it started.
In now Vladivostok.
Interesting, in Russia. Interesting, that's very yes. interesting that Our Lady started in Russia.
Well, if you notice,
Russia.
Right now in Russia, they've changed the laws on abortion. A woman, average woman, has about 5 abortions in Russia.
Yes.
And now they're realizing the damage that abortion has done to the population. So they're reversing their laws on legalized abortion on demand in Russia.
Interesting.
Now, we would hope that the inspiration would be more
far-reaching,
holy, if you will, but sometimes mm-hmm. economics makes people realize something's got to change.
Yeah, in this case, any way we get there, I mean, Eric Slaughter talking about Our Lady Chistahova. And Father, you mentioned a little bit about the origins and the story. And I'm just going to say, listeners, please Google this. And can I? Maybe we should spell this for our listeners, because it doesn't sound anything, Eric, like it's spelled, or spelled anything like it sounds.
Yes, Chistahova is actually spelled C-Z, as in zoo, E-S-T-O-C-H-O-W-A. Our Lady of Chistahova.
Yeah, and I would encourage our listeners to Google because there's so much information and the story is so rich.
And Eric, on our last program, you gave us a local website here where people could go to find out more about the date, times, and places and everything.
Yes, the website is archindy.org/pro-life. And also, if you go to hli.org, that's Human Life International's website, you'll find more information there. They have videos of all the pilgrimage.
Okay, so, and Father, this is going to be a 3 or 4 day event, right?
Right. It will start at St. Athanasius on Wednesday, April the 23rd, which happens to be the Feast of St. George. And the icon will arrive. We'll be welcomed at approximately 7 p.m. And we will then have a celebration of the Akathist hymn to the Theotokos. And then we'll have the church open on Wednesday evening until midnight for people to come for prayer and meditation. Then the next day, on Bright Thursday, as we would call it, the 24th, we'll have Divine Liturgy, the Eucharist, at 9 a.m. And then at 10:30 to 12, they'll go to the Clinic for Women on West 16th. Then to Planned Parenthood in the afternoon from 2 until 3. Then from 4 until 5 o'clock, there'll be prayer and meditation at St. Luke the Evangelist Roman Catholic Church on Holiday Drive East.
Oh, yes, right.
And then they'll have Mass there at 5:30 p.m., and then they'll return to St. Athanasius at 7 p.m., where we will have a molebin or a prayer service for all of the victims of abortion.
Now, let me ask you this. The icon will actually be traveling with you throughout the city to those different events, to those different venues, correct?
That's yes. correct.
So it will be at St. Luke's, and it will be at Planned Parenthood and the abortion clinics, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Wow.
They'll scare the bejeebers out of them.
Yeah, praise God. We can only hope. Now, Eric, I'm sitting at home, and I've got 3 little children around my ankles and 2 teenagers. Who should I bring to this? Who should I bring? Is this a family event? Should I bring everybody? What's the deal?
Definitely. You should bring your grandmother, your grandchildren. Anyone is welcome to come. I assume you're talking about specifically at the abortion facilities?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. If you're familiar with 40 Days for Life, the prayer services are peaceful. So we would encourage anyone, there's no problem. You could even bring the children and a blanket where they can lie down and play on the ground.
And the weather should be nice. The weather should be wonderful, right? You know, is there veneration? I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Icons, I only know from the beautiful flat, and you said that you don't refer to them as paintings, as being painted, but
written.
Yes. But do you offer veneration?
Oh, yes.
How is that done?
What you typically would do is you would come before the icon, you would bow and bless yourself one time or 3 times, and then you would kiss the icon.
Okay.
And in the case of the icon of Chistahova, you would kiss the image of Christ first, and then the image, usually the hand of the Virgin.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you said that because I, and one more tidbit. Oh gosh, we're running out of time again. We could have, of course, had him a third time. Jim, what were you thinking? Okay. So you said one or three times, and that was another difference that I wanted to bring up is when you cross yourself, just yes. as simple as that, it's not like our sign of the cross. It's even reversed, is it not?
It's like my sign of the cross.
Okay. All right. So explain that to us.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it's from the head to the navel. We go to the right side yeah. and then to the left side.
Yes. Okay. And usually three times,
and
right?
Typically three times, yes.
And give us a quick tidbit. Why is that?
Because in the Byzantine Church, there's a very strong emphasis on Trinitarianism. And so we mention the Trinity. We close almost all of our prayers with a doxology or a glorification of the Trinity. So even the Our Father, where the doxology following the Our Father is actually very ancient, not quite scriptural to my Protestant friends, but is very ancient, we would actually say, "For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever,
love it.
And
love
unto
it.
Ages of ages. Amen."
Our guest today, Father Brian Eyman, St. Athanasius, Eric Slaughter, Our Lady of Częstochowa, Chapter of the Catholics United for Faith. You are the chairman of Abba Father. We are literally out of time, but Eric, give us the website one more time where we can get more information.
Go to archindy.org/prolife.
/prolife. And Father, thank you so much for being our guest today. Could you offer us your blessing?
Yes, I certainly can. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and loving kindness, always now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And may the Lord's peace be with you.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a guest or a topic for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you. May the Lord's peace be with you.